Part 6, The Vocabulary of Success. The Power of Transformational Vocabulary and Global Metaphors. Have you ever been deeply moved by a great communicator? Do you still remember the words of a John F. Kennedy, a Winston Churchill, a Martin Luther King? Through the power of their words, these men affected not only you and me, but entire nations. And even after their death, they continue to touch others around the world. Yet do you ever stop to think about the power that you have to inspire, or for that matter, to depress yourself simply by the words you habitually use? Are the words that you use with yourself uplifting or devastating? Do they provide hope, inspiration, or despair? One of the greatest discoveries you can make is the power that you have to immediately change your experience at a moment's notice simply by consciously selecting the words that you use to describe the way you feel, not only to other people, but to yourself. Words have the power to start wars or to create peace, to destroy a relationship or to strengthen it. How we feel about anything is shaped by the meaning that we attach to it. The words that you consciously, or for that matter unconsciously, select in order to describe a situation immediately changes what this situation means to you and thus how you feel about it. If you describe an event to yourself as devastating, will you feel different than if you describe it as a bit disappointing? Is there a difference in emotional intensity between calling something a major problem or a minor challenge? What if you share with me a conviction that you have and I tell you you're mistaken? What if I say you're wrong? Worse, what if I choose the words you're lying? Will this affect our interaction? Words have immense power. Years ago, I made a discovery that has really changed my life forever. And it happened when I was in a business meeting with two of my associates, and we all received some news that was certain to produce negative consequences for each of us. Yet each of us had a different emotional intensity about the news. What's more, I couldn't help but notice that we all had different ways of describing how we felt about it. I was, quote, angry. One associate around me was absolutely enraged, and the third was merely a bit annoyed. I remember thinking what a stupid word that was, annoyed. What a dumb word. I've never felt annoyed. Then I thought, interestingly enough, I never feel this emotion, and I never use this word to describe how I feel. I began to wonder, if you adopted a new set of words, could you transform your emotional patterns? Based on this meeting, I made a 10-day commitment to adopt a stupid, silly word, annoyed, to use it and utilize it in any situation where I would normally say that something makes me really angry or mad. The results were astonishing. Simply by changing the word I'd habitually used to describe my feelings of upset, I immediately lowered the intensity of my negative feelings. Saying to someone, "This really annoys me," really broke my pattern. Soon I adopted other words, such as, "You're beginning to peeve me." And you can imagine doing this began to change the way I felt. It made me smile where I used to be upset. I couldn't keep a straight face saying you're peeving me. So right now, select a word that you habitually use to describe negative feelings you have and come up with an alternative word that would break your pattern or at least lower your intensity. And then try it for 10 days and see what happens. When you use a different word for an experience than you normally do, you're attaching a new label to it. It's like pushing a different biochemical button in your body. You don't just change intellectually, you change how you feel emotionally. You gotta remember that words are triggering devices. If you doubt this, imagine someone calling you a four-letter word with intensity. Most likely, this will create a physiological, not just mental, change in you. You see, this power to instantly transform human emotions, to either lower or heighten their intensity, I call this transformational vocabulary. Simply adjust your habitual vocabulary. In other words, the words you consistently use to describe your emotions, feelings, or sensations, and you can immediately change how you think, how you feel, and how you live. This is one of the simplest yet most powerful tools for changing virtually anyone's life in an instant. Mark Twain once said, "A powerful agent is the right word." Whenever we come upon one of these intensely right words, the resulting effect is physical as well as spiritual and electrically prompt. What words have the most powerful effect on you? Are they terms of endearment, epithets, exclamations, or exaggerations? What affects you most? Most people's vocabularies consist of only a few thousand words. When you consider that the English language, which is the largest language in the world, contains between 1/2 and 3/4 of a million words, this means that we regularly use only about 2% of our language. What's worse is that most people only have about a dozen words, maybe a maximum of 20, to describe their consistent emotions. And of these, usually half or more are negative. How many words do you habitually use to describe the way you feel, either to yourself or to other people? Take a moment right now and brainstorm all the emotions you experience in an average week and see what words you use consistently to describe your feelings, or maybe even to create them. Once we put a label on something, we create a corresponding emotion. Nowhere is this truer than with dis-ease in the body. Studies have shown that diagnosis of cancer and heart disease can often produce panic in patients, which then leads to helplessness and depression that can actually impair the effectiveness of the person's immune system. Conversely, studies have proven that if patients are freed or relieved of the depression produced by these labels, and they clearly understand what their body needs to become healthy, then the immune system often experiences an immediate boost. In an interview I conducted with Norman Cousins, he said, quote, "Words can produce illness, words can kill. Therefore, wise physicians are very careful about the way they communicate. Carefully choose the words you use to describe your health and your life." People with impoverished vocabularies live emotionally impoverished lives. People with rich vocabularies have a multi-hued palette of colors with which to paint their life's experience, not only for others, but for themselves as well. What could you do today to expand your emotional palette? What positive or emotionally uplifting words could you add to your habitual vocabulary so you began to feel more? If you were to consistently use these new words, how much more enjoyable would your life be? Which people do you know who lead extraordinarily happy or passionate lives? What words do they consistently use to describe their life's experience that you might want to model and thereby adopt some of their positive emotional patterns? Not only do words have a powerful impact on our emotions, but particular sets of words, those we use as metaphors, have an extraordinarily explosive effect. For example, you might say, "I'm angry with John," or you could use a metaphor and say, "John stabbed me in the back." Which one of these descriptions do you think will affect you most intensely? Without a doubt, the thought of being stabbed will affect you very deeply. When you use a metaphor, you're not describing your actual experience, but how it's like something else. Often our metaphors are far more intense than the actual reality. What did John really do? He may have broken a promise, but there's a big difference between that and being stabbed in the back, isn't there? Now, what metaphors do you consistently use to describe painful or frustrating experiences? And are these metaphors intensifying your pain? Take a look now at some of the metaphors you use. Learning is merely the process of creating a relationship between something you already understand and something new. One way to do this is to use a metaphor for comparison. Regardless of spiritual beliefs, most people would agree that Jesus Christ was a remarkable teacher. How did he teach? He used metaphors. When he approached fishermen, he didn't say, "I want you to go out and recruit Christians." He said, "I want you to become fishers of men." Utilizing the metaphor of fishing, something they already understood, and relating it to a new idea, sharing Christianity, he instantly taught them the process. A metaphor can take you from the darkness of misunderstanding to the light of clarity in a moment. Next time you're confused, ask someone, "What's that like? Can you give me a metaphor that would describe how this works?" Which metaphor is the right one for you to use? Probably all metaphors are useful at different times. Sometimes you need life to be a game so that your perspective becomes more playful. Sometimes you need life to be seen as sacred so that you appreciate it and revere the gifts that you've been given, whether they be friends or family or opportunities. Sometimes it's useful to think of life as just a test or a challenge, especially when you find yourself facing a situation that seems to be without any positive meaning. If you choose a different way to represent life to yourself, you'll automatically think, feel, and respond to situations in a brand new way. How many other positive metaphors could you use to describe what life really is and what it really means to you? If you feel that something is, quote, holding you back, unquote, or there's a, quote, wall blocking your progress, look at the metaphors you're using. Often you'll find you're using one that stops you from tapping the resources that you really have inside of yourself that could give you the solution. It's hard to deal with a wall or something invisible that's holding you back. Since you're the one who chose this metaphor in the first place, you can just as easily change it. If you feel like you've been, quote, hitting the wall, why not stop hitting it and drill a hole through it, or climb over it, or tunnel under it, or just open the door there to the right and walk through it? Or see the wall as a stepping stone. Changing your metaphor can change the way you deal with virtually anything in your life. Sometimes a metaphor is the best way to help someone. When my son Joshua was 6 years old, one of his friends died, and he came home in tears. "Honey," I said to him, "I know how you feel, but that's because you're still a caterpillar." This kind of broke his pattern. He looked up at me and stopped crying and so what do you mean? And then explained to him that when a caterpillar encases itself in a cocoon, it looks as if it's dying. But what's really happening, I asked him. He said, "Well, it's turning into a butterfly." I said, "That's right, son. It's the beginning of a whole new life." I said, "You don't see your friend because he's really just flying above you, more beautiful and more powerful than ever. Sometimes we just have to trust that God knows when it's time for us to become butterflies. It's not for us to question. It's for us to appreciate." Part 7, how to use your action signals. You and you alone are the source of all your emotions. At any moment, you can create or change any of them. So if that's true, why don't we? For most of us, feeling bad seems natural, but we have to have a reason to feel good. You see, I want to tell you something. You don't need an excuse to allow yourself to feel good. You can just decide to feel good right now simply because you're alive, simply because you want to. You don't have to wait for anything or anyone to feel good. Just put it in your body. Move like you feel good. Act like you feel good. And very quickly, you will. What's the best way to deal with negative emotions? Well, there are several common ineffective responses. You can either ignore your emotions and act like they're not there. Of course, they don't go away. Or secondly, you can try and suppress them, but they just come out in some other way and sometimes more negatively. Or you can indulge in them and just feel sorry for yourself. But that doesn't make anything better, and it actually sometimes makes it worse. Or you can try and compete with other people by saying, "You think you got it bad? I'll show you how bad it is. I got it even worse." Of course, the most intelligent thing to do with a negative emotion is transform them by dealing effectively with a situation, by looking for solutions, and learning from and using your emotion to enhance your life and all those people you have the privilege to touch. Understand that all emotions serve you. Those you once thought of as negative emotions are merely calls to action. For example, if you feel frustrated, and by the way, we'll repeat this later on, what it means is that you believe that things could be better and they're not. This is a call to action telling you there's something you must do to make things better right now. This negative emotion, quote unquote, is actually a gift if you use it effectively. From now on, when you think of what you used to call a negative emotion, think of it as a call to action, an action signal. If you ever feel pain in any situation in your life, it's the result of either the way you're looking at things, in other words, your perception or what you're focusing on, or it's the result of what you're doing. In other words, your current approach or your current actions aren't working. We might call these your procedures. Now, if you don't like the way you're feeling, change one of these two things. Either change your focus or perception, or simply change what you're doing, your procedures, and you'll find an immediate change in your emotions. You see, you can change the way you're interacting with your spouse because you're in control. You can change the way you're communicating with your boss, or just change your perception that all these people have to always agree with your point of view. Whenever you feel a painful emotion, there are five steps you can take very quickly to learn from and use that emotion as an action signal. Number one, identify what you're really feeling. Two, acknowledge and appreciate your emotions, knowing that at some level they're supporting you to make a positive change by calling you to action. Three, get curious. Realize that this emotion is offering you a message to change something. Do you need to change your perceptions or maybe your procedures? Four, get confident you can handle this emotion immediately because you've done it in the past. Remember a time when you successfully handled this emotion and you turned things around? Think about that time and then model what you did and learn from that and use it today and in the future. And finally, step five, get excited and take action on what you just modeled from your past. In other words, use a strategy that's already worked and enjoy the results. To gain confidence about your ability to handle a negative emotion, simply remember a time when you felt a similar way and realize that you've successfully handled this emotion before. I don't care if it's depression or frustration or overwhelm. We've all had times when we turned it around. Do you remember a time when you felt depressed and turned it around, or you were frustrated, or you were overwhelmed, yet you refocused and you felt centered? Model your own successful actions from the past. What did you do then that worked? Did you change what you were focusing on? Did you ask yourself a better question? Did you interrupt your pattern by changing your physiology, by going for a walk or exercising and returning in a more balanced state? If you begin to feel this emotion again in the future, use the same strategy you used in the past to turn things around today or anytime in your future. Uncomfortable emotions like boredom, impatience, unease, distress, or mild embarrassment are sending you a nagging message that something's not quite right. Either your perception of the situation is making you uncomfortable and you need to change that, or your current actions are not supporting your goal. So here's the solution. One, use the skills you learn in section two of this program to immediately change your emotional state by changing either your focus or your physiology. Or two, clarify how you want to feel now and what you want to accomplish. Three, change or refine your actions. Try a slightly different approach to see if you can immediately change the way you're feeling about a situation or if you can change the results you're producing. Like all emotions, if the emotions of boredom or impatience or distress or mild embarrassment aren't dealt with, they tend to grow into something much more intense. If we don't deal with situations that are making us uncomfortable, often they grow into fear. The emotions of fear, apprehension, worry, and anxiety are simply a call to action telling you that you need to be more prepared for what's about to occur. The solution? One, think about the situation you're feeling fearful about and decide what must you do right now to prepare yourself for it, either mentally or physically. Two, figure out what actions you need to take to deal with the situation in the most effective way possible. And then three, once you've prepared yourself, then stop worrying and mentally see yourself consistently and successfully dealing with the situation until you feel a sense of continued confidence. The action signal of hurt comes from a feeling of loss. And yet the sense of loss is often an illusion. The action signal here is calling us to change our perception or to realize that one of our expectations may have been inappropriate. Here's the solution. One, realize you may not have actually lost anything. Raised voices do not necessarily mean that someone no longer loves you, for example. Number two, reevaluate the situation by asking, is it possible that by not having my expectations met, I've actually gained something else? Have I judged the situation too soon or maybe too harshly? Three, as elegantly and appropriately as possible, communicate your feelings to whoever you see as the source. I know you really care about me, but could you clarify for me what really happened here? The action signal of anger, annoyance, resentment, or rage is a powerful emotion. Its source is feelings of hurt that have not been dealt with. This action signal tells us that one of our most important standards or rules has been violated either by ourselves or by someone else. The solution is, one, realize you may have misinterpreted this situation. The person you believe has, quote, broken your rules may not even know they've been broken. They may not even know what your rules are, even though you think you're so clear about them. Two, realize that your rules are not necessarily the, quote, right rules. Sometimes it's pretty hard to do. And then three, interrupt the anger within yourself by asking yourself a question such as, in the long run, is it true this person really cares about me? Or what can I learn from this? Or will this even matter 20 years from now? How can I communicate the importance of my standards to this person so that we can get along better in the future? The action signal of frustration means that in spite of your current lack of progress, at some level, you believe that something you're doing could be done better, that you could get a better or greater result. This is a call to action telling you to change your approach and you can still achieve what you want. The solution's simple. Be flexible. Realize that your frustration is your friend and begin to brainstorm new ways to still get the result. Number two, find a role model, someone who's found a way to get what you want and learn from him or her. Three, get fascinated by what you can learn to help you handle this challenge in a way that consumes very little time or energy and actually creates joy for you. The action signal of disappointment is the devastated feeling of being let down based on your belief that something's happened and as a result of it, you're going to miss out on something else forever. This action signal calls you to change your expectations. The solution's simple. One, figure out what you can learn from this situation and/or change your expectations right now. Two, set a new, even more inspiring goal toward which you can make some immediate progress. This will change your focus and how you feel. Three, realize that you may be judging too soon. Often the things you're disappointed about are only temporary challenges. Four, have some patience. This is not always easy. Reevaluate what you truly want and begin to develop an even more effective plan for achieving that. And finally, five, cultivate an attitude of positive expectancy about what will happen in the future, regardless of what's occurred in the past. The action signal of guilt tells you that you have violated one of your own highest standards and that you must do something immediately to ensure you correct the situation and keep yourself from ever violating it again. This is how we maintain personal internal integrity. The solution is simple. One, acknowledge that you violated your own critical standards. Acknowledge this to yourself. Two, absolutely commit to making sure you'll never repeat this behavior again. Mentally and emotionally rehearse how you'll deal with the same situation in the future in a way that is consistent with your highest personal standards. Three, don't wallow in guilt. Now that you've utilized it, get yourself back in line and go for it. Do the right thing. Continually beating yourself up about the past will not help you or anyone else be better in the present and future. The action signal of inadequacy is telling you that you don't believe you currently have the information or the understanding, strategies, or confidence that you really need for the task at hand. It's a call to gather additional resources. The solutions are, one, maybe you've applied completely unfair criteria for assessing your performance. Ask yourself, is it possible I really do have the ability to deal with this, and it's only my perception that's making me feel inadequate? Two, if you decide that you really don't have the skills to deal with the situation, then appreciate your feelings of inadequacy as what they truly are, a call to improve yourself. And finally, three, find a role model who's effective in this area of life and learn some simple things you can do immediately to become more adequate or more effective in this area of your life. The action signals of overload, overwhelm, grief, depression, and helplessness tend to occur when we think of all the things that have happened to us that we cannot control. You must break this pattern by breaking the situation down into simple bite-sized steps. Here's the solution. One, decide which of the many things you're dealing with is absolutely most essential to focus on, and limit your focus to that one task. Two, prioritize the most important steps for making progress in that area specifically, and thus you'll begin to gain a sense of control. Three, immediately tackle the first simple item on your list. Four, in dealing with the all-encompassing emotions like grief, focus on what you can control instead of what you can't. Realize that there must be some empowering meaning in it all. Remember, everything in life happens for a reason and a purpose, and it'll serve you. Sometimes this requires a great deal of faith, but faith is power. The action signal of loneliness tells you that you need a connection with people, that you really care about them, and that you love to be with them. It's calling you to reach out and connect. The solution is, one, realize that you can reach out and make a connection immediately. Caring people are everywhere. Two, identify what kind of connection you want with people. Do you want basic friendship? Do you want love? Do you want a sympathetic ear? And then three, take some immediate action to reach out and connect with someone, and you'll see that this feeling of loneliness will disappear immediately. Next, we'll learn 10 emotions of power. If you cultivate them and utilize them immediately, they can literally replace any negative pattern in your life and give you the joy and the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that you truly desire and deserve. Power emotions number one. Cultivate the emotions of love and warmth. A marvelous core belief to adopt comes from a book called A Course in Miracles. It says, all communication is either a loving response or a cry for help. If someone comes to you in a state of hurt or anger, and you consistently respond to them with love and warmth, eventually that person's state of mind will change, and his or her intensity will just melt away. Power emotions number two. Cultivate the emotions of appreciation and gratitude. These are among the most spiritual emotions that we can have, and they enhance our lives more than almost anything I know. Live with an attitude of gratitude. Power emotion number three. If you really want to grow in your lifetime, learn to be as inquisitive as a child. Cultivate curiosity. Curious people are never bored, and for them, life becomes an unending study and joy. Power emotions number four. Cultivate the feelings of excitement and passion. These can turn any challenge into a tremendous opportunity, giving us the unbridled power to move our lives forward at a faster tempo than ever before. ignite your passion by using your physiology. Speak more rapidly, visualize images more quickly, and move your body in the direction that you want to go, and you'll experience this passion immediately. Power emotion number 5. Determination makes the difference between being stuck and being struck with a lightning power of commitment. Merely pushing yourself won't do it. Put yourself in a state of determination and you'll find yourself taking action immediately. Power emotion number 6. Adopt an attitude of flexibility. If there's one emotion to cultivate that guarantees success, it's the ability to change your approach quickly. In fact, all action signals are just messages to be more flexible. Throughout your life, there will be situations you won't be able to control. Your ability to be flexible during those situations, to flex your rules, to flex the meaning you're attaching to things, to change your approach, will determine your long-term success or failure, not to mention the level of your personal joy. Be flexible. Power motion number 7. Consistently experience confidence and it will change your life. You see, if you've ever done anything successfully, you can certainly do it again. Plus, with the power of faith, you can be confident about things that you've never been involved with before. How? Simply imagine yourself accomplishing things successfully and feel certain by that imagery now. Don't just wait for these emotions to spontaneously appear someday in some far distant future. Create them now.